Stop touching that snooze button and get ready to clock in with the best morning show on the planet.
It's okay when we're singing, we're dancing, we're playing on the field, making everybody else laugh, making everybody else millions of dollars. But as soon as we have a voice, we're punished for it.
Giving you an informative dialogue with a side of fun and laughter while cutting through the noise and bringing you the real stories behind the headlines.
Look, it takes 5 minutes. Notice I'm not getting the details about what goes on in Switzerland, but those that know, you know what I'm talking about.
Get a little. And then
do it again. Do it again.
A little.
That's it.
You know what it is, Truth Nation. It's time to wake up with Milwaukee's favorite morning show.
My point is, if you're 40 or if you're still trying to push for something, it doesn't mean that it's over just because it's been delayed. Delayed doesn't mean denied.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at the Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, this is Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming on YouTube.
You gotta love black folks. We gonna make a way out. What you mean, man? All you gotta do is get
put a little oil in it.
go get the Robitussin so we can get this car fixed.
Here are your hosts, the effective communication coach, Denise Thomas, and two-time Emmy Award winner, Telly Hughes.
Good morning, good morning. It is the best day of the week on the best morning show on planet Earth. Truth Be Told with DT and Telly. We're going to bring you the best because you deserve the best. Good morning, Telly.
Good morning, good morning. It is Friday, boy.
Good. What?
In every sense of the way. Only just not getting a deposit. That's the only thing wrong with this Friday. But everything else, it is all good.
I mean, I'm just going to put my hands in the air again and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Right. Friday. Shoot.
It is.
We got a lot to talk about today. So last night, did you check out the live conversation between Madam Vice President Kamala Harris and Oprah Winfrey? Did you catch that?
I did not. I did not. I was watching Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Never heard of them. Anywho, so we're going to play.
It's so never heard of him.
Doesn't ring a bell. We're definitely going to bring you highlights from last night's live conversation. There were a number of celebrities, including legendary actress Meryl Streep, who made a little bit of an oopsie during the interview.
Boy.
So we're going to get into that. Also, we're definitely going to give you, and we're going to give you some updates on the Diddy arrest. But if you're watching YouTube, if you're watching us on YouTube, you can stream and watch Telly and I live on YouTube. I'm holding a bottle, a travel-sized bottle, and good morning to you, Dwayne. I'm holding a travel-sized bottle of Johnson & Johnson baby oil. Now, Telly, every time now I see Johnson & Johnson's baby oil, I'm just going to say baby oil because Johnson & Johnson, they ain't sponsoring our show. Anytime I see a bottle of baby oil, of course, I don't look at it the same. But I had to do somewhat of an experiment yesterday. And I went into my cabinets, Telly, and I looked at all the dates that were listed on the bottom of my baby oil bottles. Man, I got some that got 2019, 2020. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't tripping. Baby oil should last. Have you seen the picture that the feds, when they raided Diddy's home, and he's got like a whole room full of lubricants and baby oil?
A room, DT. Not a cabinet. Not a shelf. A room. When I saw that picture, that was something I would have came out and said, look, that's AI. That's an AI-generated photo. Like, there's, come on, man. What type of person has that much baby oil? Like, I mean, I was seriously, like, just trying to, you know, play reverse psychology on everybody. I'm
right?
Like, man, come on, man. Like, I might be a freak, but I ain't that big of a freak, man. I ain't got that much oil.
Wait a minute, hold on. So Truth Nation, last night, or I should say last night, yesterday evening, my son is taking me to the airport. And so, of course, you know, we're discussing the most recent current news and could not avoid the subject of Diddy. And so my son, Telly, he did not know about the 50-foot bed. And he was like, what? And I said, Diddy had a 50-foot bed at one of his residencies. I can't remember if it was the Los Angeles residency or the Miami. But I was like, Diddy had a 50-foot.
Yes.
It was the L.A. residency?
Yes.
I was like, Diddy had a 50-foot bed in the backyard. And Darren said, who's he sleeping with, a dinosaur? I fell out. He was like, what kind of bed?
Like, what?
He was like, but, is he into Tyrannosaurus Rex? Or I was like, all right. Darren, whether DT, if it was a dinosaur.
What if you the feds? And you know how they confiscate stuff. They confiscated the guns. They probably got to that 50-foot bed. It was like, look, I ain't touching that thing. Like, we got to burn that evidence.
Man, they was like, you don't pay us enough for this now. All right, Mr. Williamson, we know you're the Don Juan. We know you're the U.S. Attorney of the Southern District of Manhattan. We know that you could put anybody, you know, behind bars. But this right here, this is outside of our pay rate, our payroll. Yeah, I can't be lifting no 50. Wait a minute, Craig said Diddy thought he was a big Texas oil tycoon. Look, yeah. All I'm trying to still
yeah,
look.
It's kind of old.
794 toys, 1,000 bottles of lubricants and baby oil, and a 50-foot bed.
When I saw that 784 sex toys, I mean, because they all couldn't have been just that one thing that they said it is. Like, because why would you need 784 of them?
So 94.
I'm sure there was
come on now, Telly. Don't forget about the extra 10.
My bad. Because what's funny, he probably would see or notice it was missing. Like, wait a minute, man. Look, I had 10 more of these now. Now, y'all tripping. Like, y'all didn't think I would know?
Take that. Stacy on the Truth Talking text line says, good morning, y'all. Now, DT, you and this baby oil talk is extensive. You said since yesterday about I can't count the numerous times. Got your mind going, huh? Laughs on Friday. Yes, and if I want to talk about baby oil, Stacy, last time I checked, it said DT and Telly Show. I'm going to talk about baby oil. Next. It's Friday. Oh, I forgot. We want to talk about murders and homicide and killings and all that. But it is Friday now. We try to, as you know, Truth Nation, to keep Friday politics free. With that being said, as we mentioned, there was a significant conversation that was broadcasted live last night. It's streamed on all the major social media platforms. I watched a bit of it on Instagram between Madam Vice President Kamala Harris and Oprah Winfrey. So we're going to give you again some highlights of that. One thing also, because it is Friday, and we're going to, at the top of the second hour, shout out, because you know Telly and I love Black Friday, powered by We Energies. We're going to shout out some Black-owned businesses. And speaking of business, one of the questions, Telly, that I'm going to present to you as well as Truth Nation, and I think it's very important that we have this conversation. A new report from Johns Hopkins Carey Business School, as well as an organization known as Great Place to Work, reveals that workplace well-being has steadily declined since its peak in 2020. So we know in 2020, we were all quarantined. You know, we were told due to the COVID pandemic, Telly, stay home, work remotely, which even that right there, to me, there was a sprinkle of discrimination, because for you to assume that everybody had techquity or had access to Wi-Fi, that in itself, it kind of set it off on the wrong tone. But ultimately, productivity went up. During the first few months of COVID, March through May of 2020, productivity went up. However, since that peak in 2020, in particular, black workers have experienced lower well-being scores than their white counterparts. Now, this report, based on data from over 1.5 million employees, and this is tally across various industries, professions, highlights that female, black, and younger employees, so female employees, black employees, and younger employees report lower well-being compared to their male, white, and older workers. Now, these findings suggest that flexible work arrangements impact the wealth of individuals, while companies in healthcare and retail hospitality industries reported the lowest well-being score. So I say all that because when we come back from our first break, I really, Truth Nation, and I'm going to start with Telly, is the well-being of black people in particular, is it continuing to decline based on what you're seeing, based on what you're experiencing at your employer, where you work? Because according to, again, this study, black folks at work, in terms of their well-being, continues to decline. Now, what's also interesting is that a number of employers are mandating, forcing, demanding that their employees return to the physical office, which also is going to play a role in this new report, again, that reveals black folks are not happy at work overall. Our mental, emotional, and even physical well-being is at risk. So we're going to get into that when we come back. Tell you, I definitely want to hear, because I know.
Have something. Yeah.
I was going to say, and our Truth Talking text line is 833-212-1017. As a black person, and based on this new report from John Hopkins, Cary Business School, and the organization Great Place to Work, as a black person, do you agree that the workplace well-being has steadily declined since it was actually peaking during the initial periods of COVID? We want to hear from you. We're going to have this conversation as well as, again, more highlights. We've also got a special edition of Truth Telling Hits with Telly in our second hour. You know we're going to shout out them black-owned businesses today. It's going to be a great show. Telly, you ready to make this a great show?
You know it. You know it. It's Friday. Come on now.
It's Friday. Let's get it, y'all. You're listening to the best morning show on planet Earth. Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. It's Friday.
More of Truth Be Told with DT and Telly is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Good morning, Truth Nation. It is Friday, September 20th. Friday. Telly's favorite day of the week. Now, before break, I want to present a question that we're going to be just discussing throughout the show, Telly. And I want to start with you because I know that many of us, especially those that are listening to this show now going to work, when they get to the parking lot of their employer, a lot of us, we have to pray and be like, dear God, I'm about to get out this car and go into this place called work and deal with all these shenanigans, whether it's the people, whether it's the culture. I'm the only black person, or I'm the only of two or three black people, but I gotta pay my bills. Let me go on and get out this car and go on into this building. That's not a good feeling. Like, we black people, we need to really talk about this, like, to already navigate through racism on a daily basis, whether it's a microaggression, whether it's unconscious bias, whether it's deliberate racism. Then on top of that, you know, for the women, you may be black and a woman. So that's two strikes in terms of how it feels. So as we talked about, there's a new report, Tilly, from John Hopkins, Cary Business School and Great Place to Work organization that reveals workplace well-being has steadily declined since its peak in 2020, with black workers experiencing lower well-being scores than their white counterparts. Why do you think that is?
I think that before the break, the answer was kind of in the question, because production was up when people were able to work from home. And that was the worst thing that could have happened for these employers who end up paying for these buildings, and they expect people to be in these buildings just because they're paying for it, not because that's the only way that work can get done. And, you know, because the stigma around working from home up until the pandemic was what? Oh, man, you're lazy, or, you know, you're not going to get stuff done. You're at home. And when they found out that people can actually be productive at home, from home, again, that was the worst thing ever, because it's like, man, what do we do with these buildings? What do we do with these, you know, like in our case, what do we do with these studios now that we know that we can, you know, we have the capabilities of doing shows that don't require studios, or you could do them from home studios. So I think there was a lot of panic. And then on top of that, that's from the employer standpoint. From the employee standpoint, especially the black worker, it's like, look, why do I have to come in here if I'm doing as good of a job, if not better, if I'm at home? And my sister was going through this before she recently retired, because they were slowly but surely integrating people back into her workplace, which was Social Security. And she was just fighting it. She was like, look, I don't want to come back in that building. I don't know if my body, you know, if there are things in that building that my body can't tolerate anymore, or whatever the case may be. But they weren't trying to hear it. And thankfully for her, she was at the end where she was about to retire. But I think if I put it to you this way, if they told my sister she can work 100% remote from home, she wouldn't have retired. I'll put it to you that way. That, like, it was because she was like, I don't want to go back to this building and I could do the same thing at home and be productive. So I think that's the mindset that a lot of people have. It's like, yo, why do I have to keep coming in here and I could do the same thing at the crib?
Now, and that's real, Telly. I will say this, and keep in mind, this is coming from someone, you know, I'm a small business. Well, I don't want to say small. I'm a business owner. I'm an entrepreneur. And so for me, I would rather be in an office space because it's just more conducive to my productivity. Because when I work from home, for me, there's a lot of distractions. There's the for me as an productive and you know, inside an office space. Now, with that being said, Telly, when I worked in corporate America, and that, you know, people, because we make it look so easy. And black people, we are the most forgiving race on this earth. There is a concept, and it's not even a concept, it's real. It's called microaggressions in the workplace. And it has such a negative effect on how people show up, and it's in the form of remarks. It's in the form of how your colleagues or leader may even just treat you as a colleague. And it is so negatively impactful. And it's very important to understand what, you know, recognizing and responding to these microaggressions at work looks and feels like, even if you are not part of a traditionally marginalized group. Because now here's the thing, Telly, we've all been in situations at work when someone says or does something and we're like, that was offensive, or that kind of felt hostile. or that kind of felt like you were coming for my identity. And the person that says it or does it, they don't even realize it. And so as a black person, you then are like, okay, do I say something to this individual or do I say something at all? Because I don't want to be regarded as the troublemaker. But there are so many microaggressions that are aimed at black people in the workplace, and they are hurtful. And whether it's intentional or not, it's something that we as black people in a predominantly white work environment go through every day. So let me just give you an example, Telly. Man, you are really articulate. Like when a person that's not black says that to you, even though they may think it's a compliment, think about it, Telly. And I know you've heard this numerous times in your career. Oh man, you sound intelligent. You're really articulate. And if you want to go there, President Biden said the same thing about President Obama during the primaries when Joe Biden was running against Barack Obama. Oh man, he's really articulate. And for a lot of people that say that to black people, you think that you're giving us a compliment. But basically what you're saying is, and I need y'all to hear me on this. You're basically saying, this is what it translates to. You aren't like other black people I know. I'm used to black people not being intelligent. I'm used to black people not being articulate. So when you say things like, oh man, you are articulate. You speak so well. Again, you may think that that's a compliment, your intentions, but the impact is that you are telling us as black people that you are not accustomed to intelligent black people, which is another reminder that you see us as less than. Now, Telly, one of the reasons why black productivity and black well-being in the workplace also is declining is that there is a term, hypersensitivity. And so a lot of people are saying, man, people are so hypersensitive. People are so sensitive. I'm not disregarding or saying that's not valid. But one thing you have to understand is that microaggressions in our society have traditionally been regarded as you're blowing this out of proportion. You're taking this the wrong way. And it increases the rates of depression, headaches, high blood pressure, and Telly, stop me when I'm lying if you've never experienced this. Difficulty sleeping. Again, headaches. Yeah. Depressed, because when you work in a predominantly white environment as a black person and you can't say anything, then what happens is that you internalize it. And there are a number of our listeners right now that are black and that are literally walking into the office and just thinking about, okay, I got to look this way. I got to sound this way. I got to talk this way. You know, I got to laugh at my, oh, you're so funny, John. Yes. And knowing that, you know, it was a racist joke. These are all things that are microaggressions. And the reason why they call it micro is because it seems subtle. It seems minor, but the impact is huge. Our Truth Talking text line is 833-212-1017. It's Friday.
I know. Going back to what you said about when people say, oh, you sound articulate. Another way that I would look at it and get offended sometime is because if they say, oh, you sound intelligent. Well, why can't I just be intelligent? Well, I got to sound intelligent. It's like I'm impersonating an intelligent person. Or is that what you're saying when you say I sound intelligent or I sound articulate? So that was one of the things that used to really kind of bother me at times, because I was like, well, why can't I actually be an intelligent guy? And so, those microaggressions that you are referring to, DT, are some of the reasons why people would prefer to work remote. And if they are being productive, why not allow them to work remote? And again, I think it goes back to these companies that have bought these buildings, invested these buildings, and expecting bodies to be in these buildings. Because otherwise, it's like, well, why are we paying these bills if nobody's going to come? But that's not our fault. The pandemic exposed another way of doing things. And now that the pandemic is over, you can't act like that didn't happen. You can't ignore the fact that production was up when people were working from home. You can't deny it.
And to your point, then you also have to understand why. And this is one of the reasons why. So Truth Nation, let us know, are you struggling with going back to work? Many of us have had to go back to work after the, you know, rise in productivity from working from home during COVID. But a lot of us, our employers are saying, nope, come back. We've paid a lot of money to have this office building either in downtown, or we just pay a lot of money to have this building. So you got to bring your butt to work. We need you to be productive. We need to be able to see you. 833-212-1017. Do you find yourself more productive at home versus at work in the building, in the actual building when working? Let us know. Again, 833-212-1017. You're listening to the best morning show on planet Earth. We're going to continue talking about this, as well as a most recent update with MPS and The Restless. Yes, we have more updates regarding MPS and The Restless. Stay locked in.
Don't touch that dial. Truth Be Told with DT and Telly will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to Truth Be Told with DT and Telly. Miss Gabrielle, we see you on the line. We're going to get to you. But before we do, we got to pay a few bills. Truth Nation, we have teamed up with Associated Bank for our Black-owned business gift back. Each quarter, we will be giving away $6,000 worth of free commercial advertising for 3 months to five Black businesses. Visit blackbusinessgiveback.com. That is blackbusinessgiveback.com to sign up today. Let's rebuild our community's backbone through exposure on the truth. For official rules, head to blackbusinessgiveback.com. Associated Bank member FDIC.
And Truth Nation, we got to give you a huge, big old thank you for making The Truth on Politics such a success. Now, if you missed the show, we're going to re-air The Truth on Politics this Saturday. So tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., Dr. Ken Harris, Sherwin Hughes, yours truly, and Tory Lowe discussed who has done more for Black Milwaukee, Democrats or Republicans. Also, we discussed healthcare and housing in Milwaukee, so you do not want to miss the rebroadcast of The Truth on Politics this Saturday. Tomorrow, y'all, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on the award-winning 1017 The Truth, Milwaukee Black Talk. Miss Gabrielle, thank you so much for your patience. You are live with DT and Telly. What is your question or comment?
My comment is, it is very true. Those microaggressions, I've experienced them even since before the workplace, and as a child. I was always told that you speak like a white person. I do not believe that it was fair that these companies allow us to make us go back to work after the pandemic, because working from home was very productive, period.
Why was it so productive for you, Miss Gabrielle? And you bring up a good point, too. I want two questions. Why is it better for you to work from home versus, you know, working at your employer's office? And then secondly, when you hear comments like, oh, you talk like a white person, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like I'm not supposed to know how to speak correctly. You know, like, basically, it's a put down. It's not a, it's like you said, it's not a praise.
And how do you feel working from home versus working at the office?
From home is way better because I'm relaxed and I have a clear mind all the time. I don't have to deal with office shenanigans.
Yeah. Good point. Thank you, Ms. Gabrielle. Yeah,
Thank you so much. Yeah, Ms. Gabrielle, for calling. It's real,
yeah,
man.
Curly Q hit us up on our talking text line and said, good morning, DT and Telly. Thankfully, I'm a 100% remote employee through my employer. In the past, whenever someone mentions that you're so articulate crap to me, I respond with just two questions. What did you expect me to be? Would you say that to a person with your ethnicity? They look at me crazy. Tuh. Those are two really good questions, Curly Q. I wish I was armed with those questions about 15 years ago. I don't get it as much now, but
right?
Curly Q says she's ready. Those are two great questions. Yes.
What did you expect me to be? You know what I'm saying? Like, Curly Q, that's what I'm talking about. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about, there was a recent report by an organization known as Great Place to Work, as well as John Hopkins Carey Business School. And this study revealed in the report that workplace well-being has steadily declined since its peak in 2020, in particular with Black workers. And one of the reasons that Black people, pre-COVID, post-COVID, struggle at work in the office, because remember, most of Black folks that listen to this show, or whether they listen to the show or not, most Black folks in this country, we work in predominantly white environments. That's a fact. And recognizing the impact, and as Curly Q had shared, the responsibility of not only recognizing microaggressions, unconscious bias, you also, as Curly Q so eloquently did, you got to be able to respond to it in a way that's not going to jeopardize or compromise your employment. And that is an impact. Like, people don't understand. Black people working in environments where the majority of people do not look like us, you can have all the DE&I policies and, you know, we accept everyone, but you've got... You've got individual employees that you're paying to manage people that have had no experience working with people of color. And it's important that employers, as well as employees, become more aware of these words and these phrases and these questions. So, for example, when you say the word peanut gallery, please know that that term, that came from the 1800s and referred to the sections of segregated theaters that were usually occupied by Black people. When you say things like man up, that's basically saying that in order to demonstrate strength or competence, I need to be a man. When you say things like blacklist, it referring to a list of things that are seen negatively, as opposed to whitelists that are seen positively, you are continuing to perpetuate the stereotype that things that are Black, including people, are negative. You can't say things like, oh, I didn't realize you were Jewish. You don't look Jewish. Because then that makes it seem like Jewish people look a certain way. Mm-hmm. This is my favorite here. I believe that the most qualified person should get the job, signaling that someone is being given an unfair advantage because of their race. You know, like when certain Black folks get promoted and you got that one person, well, I believe the most qualified person should get the job. So are you saying that because I'm Black, that I was an affirmative action checking the box, I wasn't qualified? See, these are the things that, you know, you've got to understand as a person who is not a member of a traditionally marginalized group. You are impacting people's mental health, their emotional and physical well-being. Headaches, high blood pressure, that all comes from day after day after day after day experiencing this. And so, again, our Truth Talking text line is 833-212-1017. As Black people, it is reported that our productivity is continuing to decline due to the risk of our well-being.
Yeah. And can you relate? I feel like it. Yeah. If you are in the best mindset that you could possibly be as an employee, you are going to put out the most production. And if every day felt like a Friday, if every day felt like this, then you're going to get maximum effort every day because this person is at home. They're in an environment that they are comfortable in and productive in. And so I think that I can always go back to a saying that Deion Sanders had when he was playing, and people still use it today. When you look good, you feel good. When you feel good, you play good. And when you play good, they pay good. And that was his saying. And so to me, you know, people can, you know, they, of course, they interpreted that he was just this flashy, greedy, flamboyant, superstar athlete. But the thing was, it's like, look, my production is based off how I feel. And how I feel, in my opinion, is based off how I look. If I feel like I look good, I'm going to feel good. And if you are an employee and you only feel better when you are not in that building, then that should be an option, because at the bottom line, is this person doing what I hired them to do at a high level? Mm-hmm. And if you're doing that and it happens to take place at home, I mean, like, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But it goes back to my first point that these people are paying all this money for all these buildings and things like that, and they want people in there.
Well, if you want people in there, you got to be able to recognize and respond to these elements, including racism, unconscious bias, and microaggressions that impact how and why people of color, especially Black folks, show up at work. Al, we see you. We're going to take a break. We come back. A lot of employers are mandating or forcing their employees to return to the office. No more remote work. As Black people, our physical and emotional well-being is going to be negatively infringed upon, according to this recent study. So we come back. We're going to hear more from you. 833-212-1017. You ready to go back to the office as a Black person? And also, we're going to give you some tips on how you can respond to microaggressions in a more effective and healthy way so that both parties understand the impact and how to move forward. This is the best morning show on planet Earth. Truth be told with DT and Telly. We'll be back.
Don't touch that dial. Truth be told with DT and Telly. We'll be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. It is Truth Be Told with DT and Telly on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
What's up, Truth Nation? You are listening to the best morning show on planet Earth. Now, before we hear from one of our favorites, I just want to let everybody know, are you ready to dive into the issues that matter the most? Truth Nation, we want you to join us for our first ever Truth Summit on Saturday, October 26th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the 3rd Street Market Hall, where we broadcast live. This exclusive in-person roundtable event will discuss the pulse of Black Milwaukee, from managing your money in tough times to navigating the education system and understanding the political decisions that impact us all. Truth Nation, you know we got you covered. Dr. Ken Harris is going to be joined by expert guests in the finance, education, and political field, and they will have a lively debate and share insights that you cannot afford to miss. So reserve your spot for the Truth Summit by visiting 1017thetruth.com. That is 1017thetruth.com. We've been talking about Black folks, our well-being in the predominantly white environment, workplace. Recent reports reveal that since 2020, when productivity actually went up as Black folks and other people were working from home, as more and more employers are mandating and demanding that their employees return to the actual physical brick and mortar, physical office building, A lot of folks are like, I'm good on that. Al, thank you for so much for your patience. You were live with DT and Telly. What is your question or comment?
My comment is that psychological warfare is real, and for black people, they got to become the secret recipe. You got to seek out the weak and go after the strong silently. You got to invest in one mind's peace, education, and build your resource from there, and let ignorance and racism rot. Because the best firepower is letting them know not what you're thinking. And when you get to a certain place to go, walk out that door. But you got to get yourself, you got to get your mind first right before you go in there, because it's not always a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Happy Friday.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Al.
Yeah, happy Friday.
Telling your thoughts?
No, Al, actually, no, my thoughts are, I mean, I think it leads directly into some of the things that you were about to say in terms of ways to handle these office and microaggressions, because, I mean, Al is right. And I mean, again, you just said it in a different way earlier, but, you know, a lot of people got to get up and they got to pray before they get up and, you know, get out the car, and they got to do all of these things that helps them gear up and have the right mindset. And, you know, before they go into the workplace, I mean, you think about it. A lot of people will be like, you know, before they get, you know, go to work, be like, look, and we laugh about it because it's just so common. Be like, man, let me get my mind right. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to go up in here. Mm-hmm. Let me, you know,
it's
let me
real.
Get straight. Yeah. And so, again, I think that with what Al is saying is that just having that mindset, having you know, just to prepare yourself and find ways to get through your day, which I know is very, very tough, because, and it can become exhausting, because this is every day mm-hmm. that you'd be like, oh man, what they may say today, or oh Lord, what uncomfortable comment they may make today. And again, all of that is eliminated if you're working from home.
Absolutely.
Where you can control
something
your environment.
Very important to recognize, because again, the implications of racism, microaggressions, and here's the thing. A lot of employers, they will release statements, or they will have embedded in their core values and, you know, mission statement that, you know, we are an employer that embraces inclusivity. We want everyone to feel a sense of belonging, and that's great. But the problem becomes where at the enterprise level, you've got C-suite executives that are doing the right thing and releasing the statements, but you keep steadily promoting people that either don't like people that don't look like them, or have had no experience with working with black folks. And when we're intelligent, that can make some people uncomfortable. Like, what is going on here? Like, you're a decision maker. Right. You know how to solve problems. And so, number one, it's going to be very important that employers not only become aware of what microaggressions look and feel like, but also being able to provide training, coaching, development sessions, so that every individual understands not only what a microaggression is, but how it impacts, and then the things to say when either you're on the receiving end or on the delivering end. And so, for example, when you as a black person hear, or for that matter, any person, when someone says something to you that you find offensive, immediately, you know, hey, I'm not sure what you meant when you said this, but it made me feel this way. Or even ask the person to repeat what they said. I'm sorry, can you repeat what you said? Can you run that by me one more time? Because what that does is gives that person an opportunity to hear themselves out loud, because they may not even realize, you know,
like,
what,
man,
they said.
I said that? You're right.
Exactly. Yep. And you, and again, it obviously depends on the relationship that you have with this person. It may be somebody who you could just simply say, hey, Telly, you made a comment earlier. It didn't sit well with me. Or if it's, again, someone who you don't necessarily have a close relationship with, you know, you may want to just think about their personality. Do they tend to be combative? Are they uncomfortable with having conversations where you're telling them that, you know, you're offended? If that's the case, you may have to bring in somebody else. You may need to bring another colleague into the conversation. You may need to bring HR, but it needs to be addressed.
Yeah. And here's the thing with that, too, sometimes when you are, you know, addressing people that, you know, may have said something that's offensive. A lot of times, if they don't feel like it was offensive, they're like, well, you know, I didn't mean anything by it. So, you know, why are you tripping? And the thing is, going back to, you know, employers saying we embrace diversity, we embrace this, we embrace that, we welcome these people. But when you're at an office and you've been there for 6 years, and for six consecutive years, every Tuesday meeting, there's only two black people in a 75 staff meeting. And how can you constantly feel like, well, I am feeling welcome or I am feeling embraced when you constantly look around and there's no one that looks like you?
Exactly. And that's
so,
the key.
I mean, yes, it is a mindset. It's definitely a mindset.
It definitely is a mindset. It's definitely important to have more awareness, not only in terms of what a microaggression is or what unconscious bias is, but both employers that have people of color working for them, in addition to it being a majority white environment, this is so critical. Because you can't tell me to come back to work in a hostile environment or toxic environment. I can't be productive. Yeah. So before you start mandating employees to come back, make sure that everyone is equipped with the awareness, the coaching, so they know how to make everyone feel a sense of belonging. Yeah. We come back, we've got a lot coming in our Truth Talking text line, as well as our YouTube message board. You definitely want to stream and watch Telly and I live. All of our our hosts today are going to be broadcasting live from YouTube. Simply go to YouTube, search for 101.7 The Truth. Definitely hit that subscribe button, and you can stream and watch Telly and I live right now. When we come back, we got Black Friday coming up at the top of the hour. We got truth telling hits. We've got an update on another MPS and the Restless episode, as well as the highlights from the conversation with Madam Vice President Kamala Harris and Oprah Winfrey. Stay tuned.
More of Truth Be Told with DT and Telly is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.